I have so appreciated everything that has happened here as far as the spirit, the hunger that I sense in the lives of the people. It's just refreshing. There's a real hunger. And I made a statement this afternoon to a person. I don't know who's controlling the mic, but you've got a feedback. If you could turn off this one, maybe it would stop the feedback. I made this statement. I said, I sense that there are a number of ministers in the New Mexico district that are right at the threshold of breaking in to a new and richer ministry than they have ever experienced in their life. I really feel that. I sense that in my spirit. There's a hunger. Amen. There is a desire that's in the hearts of many of you, not just to be average. Amen. I think Dale put it beautiful in the song, and that blessed me a few minutes ago. Something more than yesterday. Something more than I had then. And I think that's the cry of the heart. And it's going to happen. Hallelujah. The cries of God's people are not ignored. Chapter 1 of Joshua, beginning at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Unto the Lord shall give your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy word, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. I want to talk to you tonight on the thought, the man God uses. There's some marked characteristics in the life of every person that God really uses. And I think these stand out in every man in the Word of God that you read, every woman in the Word of God you read about, every person that's ever made a mark in the Christian world, you'll find these characteristics in that individual's life. Now, the young men that are seated here before me this evening, that are now about to be ordained, there will be fears, and there will be doubts, and there will be questions that will come to you from time to time. I know there is a new doctrine and a new teaching that's going about that if you are really spirit-filled, that you will never have a problem with fear. Well, Joshua was a pretty good boy. And he'd been hooked up with one of the greatest. And God told him three times in one chapter, fear not and have courage. Now, God does not waste words. You know why he said that? If you could have been standing there watching, Joshua's knees were buckling. He was having difficulty standing up under this responsibility. And God was giving him that assurance. God was speaking to his heart to drive out the fear, to not be discouraged. Why should he be fearful? All he was doing was assuming the duties of Moses. Amen? How would you like to be called a pastor behind Moses? And this responsibility was an awesome thing for him. And he was wrestling with it. Now, why in the world would God choose Joshua? Why would God take this man and move him into that position? What was it about this man that would cause God to focus in upon him? There were other men that were mightily used of God during the time of Moses' reign and leadership. There were 70 of them at one time that was pulled together, and they took of the Spirit that was upon Moses and put upon them, and they assisted him and ministered. But there was something about this guy, Joshua. Number one, he was faithful. There is nothing to take the place of faithfulness. God looks for a man that is faithful. And I don't care where you are and what your ministry is, until you can prove yourself to be faithful, until you can come to that place that you will stand through thick, through thin, through hardship, through good times, through bad times, through worse times, when it seems like that everything has turned against you, but yet you stand unmovable, ever abounding in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, until you learn that and practice it. You are going before with God. Amen? People that have never learned to be faithful, to make a commitment to someone. Amen? I get amused sometimes at some of these people that go around teaching over the country. You know, they operate out of an office somewhere else. And I can say this because I have a television and a radio ministry. But until you drive upstate in the community where you live, and commit yourself to some church and pastor there, you ain't doing nothing. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants people who are faithful. And not just faithful. Someone says, I'm faithful to God. You can't be faithful to God whom you have not seen until you can be faithful to me whom you see. You have to learn that there is no one that is perfect. But God puts people in places of authority. And you may be seated under a pastor's ministry at this time, or under a presbyter, or under a district superintendent. You may not agree with them always, but God put them there. Amen. You say, oh, but bless God, I'm led by the Spirit. They are too. Amen. You say, well, but can't they be wrong? Yeah. But when you begin to buck them, then there's two of you wrong. And two wrongs won't ever make a right. God has places of authority. Just like we have Bible studies in New Orleans at our church. We have close to 100 of them now, and nothing happened. By the end of this year, we'll have over 200 Bible studies all over the city, and they're teaching. The young lady back there, Tammy, that is here tonight, she used to teach in one of the Bible studies. Well, sometimes we get people in those Bible studies, and they say, well, but I didn't feel led to teach the lesson that Brother Gorman gave us for tonight, so I taught something else. They only do that one time. And they get an invitation to come and talk to me. See? Because God speaks to a leader. And everybody's not a chief. And when you are the leader, then God speaks to you the direction to go, and others are to follow. God didn't tell the whole group, we're fixing to go over to Jordan. He told Joshua, and Joshua said, you better get your vittles together, you better get things in order, because we're about to cross over this Jordan, and they had to believe what the man of God said. And authority is more than wives obey your husbands. That's the only authority some men ever learn. It's a shame they can't make it work. But there is an authority within the realm of God that builds a dedication and a loyalty. You'll never make me believe that Joshua agreed with everything Moses did. Never. But he was loyal. He was loyal. Amen. And young men, remember this. You're going to reap what you sow. And if you'll be loyal to the church where you are, if you'll be loyal to those who are in authority over you, if you'll be loyal to your district, God will give you people that'll be loyal to you. Amen. But you get a fighting spirit, and you get a spirit of, bless God, God's given me revelations. That's great. But your revelation has to fit into the scope of the total church, because the church is not going under. Amen. And I'm convinced as never before that God is concerned for his church. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to protect. There may be occasions that someone will rise up that will start teaching an erroneous doctrine. There may be another that will rise up over you and start teaching something out there. But if you'll stay in the middle of the road, God will take care of them in due time. And he's still going to preserve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Faithfulness is so important. So very, very important. We have a number of young ministers in our congregation that's growing up. And I watch the records. I have one man on my staff that is assigned that he is responsible for all those who are seeking credentials or either carrying credentials. They have to report to him monthly. You say, report to him monthly? That's right. And those that don't report, they don't get sent out to preach. And if I hear them preaching anywhere when they aren't sent out, then they get their knuckles wrapped. You know why? Until you can learn to be in subjection to those who are your spiritual overseers, you'll never amount to anything in the total body of Christ. Hallelujah. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we learn this, that we know this. And when you have a disagreement with a brother, go to him. Don't go to his back. Live that. When I disagree with my superintendent, I go to him. I disagree with the secretary treasurer, I go to him. I don't go to their back. And then when I have discussed it with them, if they don't see it my way, and I don't see it their way, we still are going to fall out. Amen? Hallelujah. Number two, you can always watch this. And the life of every person God uses, they have a distinct call. They know their call.
They know it. I touched on this Monday. I'm at Tuesday night. The call must be so clear that nothing can ever make you doubt that you're called into the ministry. Amen? Now, the areas of ministry you're in may vary. You may start out as a pastor. You may start out as an evangelist. You may start out as an associate pastor. You may start out as a minister of music. You may start out as a minister of youth. You may start out as a minister of education. That doesn't mean you'll lay there always. But the call to the ministry will never change. It'll be like fire shut up in your bones, and it'll always be there. And any time you can be happy without preaching, then you were not called. No man can be happy without preaching. Amen? I hope Jesus Christ comes before I ever have to retire, if there's any such thing as that. Because I can't feature myself not preaching. You know? Not in this life. Now I'm going to have a glorified body, and I'm going to be like Him when I get up there, and He's going to make those adjustments because I'll be happy. But it's going to be a hard thing not to get a bunch off in the corner and preach to them. Because I'm called and I know that. Nothing can make me doubt that. Nothing can make me even waver on that point. I know that I'm called to the ministry. I know that. For He puts me as His business. But the call is there. And the call simply means, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen? That's all it means. You're called of God. You're set apart for God. You're the property of God. You never entangle yourself with the affairs of this life to the extent that God cannot put you where He wants to. Because when you do, then you're infringing on God's territory. Anytime you get so many possessions in one place that God can't move you across the Jordan, then you'll become too attached to this world. Amen? We have a unique calling. We have a unique place in the body of Christ. And that place is, we're His, for Him to do with us as He sees fit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, don't live like some people who say, well, bless God, I just live from day to day. I don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. God don't operate that way. Where did people ever get that harebrained stuff? Amen? You know, well, I don't know. Maybe God's going to move me tomorrow. Honey, you can set your watch on it. The sun's coming up in the morning. God made that. You can depend on it. The tide's coming in and the tide's going out. What am I saying to you? God's not haphazard. He don't operate in a split second's time, you know. Dear God, I forgot to push this button yesterday, so I better get this one moving. But that's the way God works. And one morning you wake up and suddenly God grabs you up and throws you all the way across the nation. God prepares us. Amen. God takes us and works in our lives to make us ready and willing. Amen? Hallelujah. And when you're in God's will, it don't matter where it's at, you're happy. Amen? Amen. I can't buy this stuff. Well, you know, I'm doing what God wants me to do, but I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. I can't speak to that, because wherever God's will is, I'm happy. When God moved me to Louisiana, I was happy. When God put me into the district work, I was happy. When God took me out of there and put me in New Orleans, oh, I had an argument with God before, but when I got there, I loved it. I'd never been happier. New Orleans is the greatest city in all the world. Hallelujah. It's the greatest place in all the earth. You know why? Because that's where God put me. I'm happy. Amen. Hallelujah. And in God's will, you're content. You're happy. Amen. Don't become one of these people who always go around, Well, I don't know why God don't bless me. I heard Brother Smith over here was having great revival. I understand, too, that Brother Jones going to be leaving his church. That probably would be a better place for me than where. Dear God, don't get that way, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? When I was running 123, I felt sorry for all the rest of you guys. Because I had the best church in the world. And I knew that y'all could not be as happy as I. Because I was put there. Oh, I had battles and had storms. But I knew it was the best. So that it come along and say, what's Brother so-and-so doing? I don't know. I'm so taken up with what I'm doing until I have to watch myself or I forget. There are other people. You know, it's very easy for us to get like Elijah was, that we think we're the only duck in the pond. You can get taken up with the work of God because you're content and you're happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you recall, that's what it does for you. And then, number three, you'll find this in every man. I'm reading the life story at this time of G. Campbell Morgan. He's one of my favorites. Tremendous expositor. Man, the truth that this man had. And I'm reading his life story, written by a sister-in-law of his. He's had three books written on his life, but this one was written by his sister-in-law. And it's so rich. But the thing that stands out about this man was his faithfulness. A distinct call upon his life. And then the next thing, a man of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I laughed whenever I was riding over on the plane. I was reading along. And so he went to preach for a young minister one time. And the young minister came to him and says, Dr. Morgan says, I know that it's not customary, but we would like to have this person to sing a solo before you preach. He says, not on your life. I didn't come here to sing. I came to preach. You know why? The word was overpowering to him. Now, I'll admit that he later in his life, he admitted himself that he was off balance, that there is place for worship and song. But when he came there, he was ready to take the book. Be a man of the word. Amen? Be a man of the word. Let the word get in you. Let the word get in your life. God said to Joshua, if you will meditate in this law both day and night, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that was part of the interpretation of the message that was given forth tonight. Then thou shalt have good success. When? When you meditate in the law of God both day and night. Let your mind be upon this book. Let your mind be in this book. Let the word of God be the source of your strength, your inspiration, your life, your food, your everything. Let that book be there. You hear a lot today about confession. You hear a lot today about meditation. And each of these things are good. But they are taking them out of their context. Because meditation is one of the richest things you can do. I spend hours with this book. I'll pray 15 or 20 minutes. I'll read 10 or 15 minutes. And I'll sit there and let the Holy Spirit help me digest for another 20 minutes what I just read. And I'll go back at that, and sometimes I may spend 2 or 3 or 4 hours just meditating upon the Word of God. You know what I'm doing? God's taking that book, and He is injecting that into my spirit, because whatever's in my spirit can only get there by revelation. And as it is in my spirit, it controls my life, because whatever's in your spirit will direct you. Amen. Feelings will mess you up. Inspiration will let you down. Enthusiasm will leave you flat. But whatever's in your spirit, that's what's going to control you. And if bitterness ever gets there, it'll control you. If envy ever gets there, it'll control you. If jealousy ever gets there, it'll control you. If pride ever gets there, it'll control you. But if the book gets there, it'll control you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. He didn't mean he just committed it to memory. While he was out there playing that harp, he was thinking on God. And that got into his spirit. Amen. And we can understand that a little better today because of the computers. We got a computer at our church, or at our television ministry now, and I can say to the man in charge, I want you to give me out the names of the people that live in this zip code. I want you to give me the names of the people that's given this amount of money this year. I want you to give me the names of the people that do this or that, and they can spit it out to me just like that. Well, whenever that the Holy Spirit takes the word and puts in your heart, you don't have to go around. That's why Jesus Christ said, don't give any thought what you're going to say when you're delivered up. You don't have to worry about that. If you've been spending your time right meditating on the law of God, it's in your computer. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, oh, glory to God, your Holy Spirit computer goes to work and brings forth the word of truth that you can fight against the enemy. And the word will defeat Satan every time. Amen. Hallelujah. The word. The word. Feed your people the word. If you're an evangelist, give them the word. If you're a teacher, give them the word. If you're a pastor, give them the word. If you're a counselor, give them the word. It's the word that's going to keep them. You follow me? It's the word. Now, the word of God is beautiful. When presented under the anointing of the Spirit and in love. But it's a hard book when it's presented under legalism and the letter of the law. Amen? I'm glad for God's grace because I abuse some people in the first year of my ministry. And I thank God that He showed me that I was doing that. I took the book and I cut them to pieces. And I left them to die with no love, no compassion. I'm not the only one that's ever done that. But it doesn't make it right though everyone may have done it. It's wrong. And you can take this book and you can preach it from a legalistic standpoint and you can kill your church. You can destroy your people. You can take all the faith out of them, all the joy out of them. You can take the same sermons and bathe them with tears under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and preach them from a heart of love. And lift your people into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. This book is made so that to the person who needs help, it builds them up, edifies them, and strengthens them. But the same message takes the devil and strips him apart limb by limb and sends him fleeing. There's no other book that can do that. Without me getting mad, without me getting angry with the devil, all I've got to do is preach this book under the anointing of the Spirit. And while I'm doing it, the little grandmother out there that's had a tough week and been lonely all week, she just sits there and feels like that all heaven has just come down to meet her. And that person that's going through a divorce and they feel like that everybody's turned against them, suddenly they feel the comforting love of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word begins to edify and strengthen them. And that sinner out there that feels like that all hope is gone, suddenly hope springs in his heart and he comes to an altar and accepts Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, that devil out there that don't like me and he doesn't like Jesus Christ nor the Holy Spirit, I send him fleeing as I preach that message. Hallelujah. And it's all wrapped up in this book. in this book. Men of the Word, don't get hung up on this business of confession. Not like they're teaching now. There is a confession. You can only confess what has been revealed to you by the Spirit. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Right, Peter. But you weren't smart enough to figure that out. That was revealed unto you by my Father." He said, "Upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Revealed truth, when it's sucked into your spirit, you can speak it, and it'll happen. Amen? Amen. One Sunday morning, I started out of our building. A young lady ran and grabbed me. It was 11 o'clock service that I just concluded. And she called me. She said, "Oh, Pastor, please, my husband is at home. He wanted me to come today and stand in and have you to pray for me in his behalf. And I couldn't get to the altar. There were so many people there. I couldn't get to you. But you've got to pray for him. Would you please?" And I stopped. And about that time, the Holy Spirit says, and I sent my word and healed him. And I grabbed her by the hand and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I send the word to heal this man. Be set free this moment." Looked at my watch. I said, "Honey, when you get home, check with him. At this time, the fever broke and he got well." When she got home, he was up fixing him something to eat. She said, "When did you get better?" He said, "I don't know, but something told me to look at the clock. It was that time." Amen. Hallelujah. It was revelation. See, God revealed that. I spoke it and it happened. But I'm as nutty as a fruitcake if I think I can walk up to everybody and say, "In the name of Jesus, I send the word and heal them." It don't work. But if he tells me to do it again, it'll work. Hallelujah. See, don't get hung up on this stuff. Man, I had someone come around not too long ago and they were telling me of all the things they were going to get. I said, "Where are you going to get these?" "Oh, I've confessed it." I said, "Well, let me tell you a little bit about this confession bit. Because I read a lot. I read all the big men's books, Oral Roberts, all of them. I read Oral Roberts, and I think he's a great man. Got no stones to throw at him. Read where he walked around over a piece of ground. Claimed it. So, I need some property. I went out there and walked around on it, claimed it. I'm so glad God didn't give me that crawfish hole now. I can't thank him enough. That would be, it's a horrible place. Then I thought it was great. But then they came in there and built a highway, and they made a big loop around the thing, and now water stands in there almost a year round. And I walked out there. I mean, here I am, Mr. Big Eye, walking around claiming this for God. I want God. Man, what do we think we are? You can only claim that which God puts in your spirit, and whatever God puts in your spirit, you can claim it, and it's yours. Hallelujah. All hell can take it away from you. All the people in the world, they take it away from you. He'll set before you an open door, and nobody can shut it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been a lot of things I prayed for that God let me have. That, man, I didn't have them very long until I wanted to give them back to him. Because sometimes he gives us the things that we ask for. You know? But we really don't know how to pray as we ought. That's what the Bible says. That's why we need this book continually. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our way. Amen? And the further I go in serving him and the deeper I get into the book, the more I see. The more I see that my Heavenly Father has everything Gorman needs. Amen? And the process of asking for it, I don't have to go around a bunch of stuff claiming this and claim it. Boy, wouldn't I feel strange if I walked in and I'd hear my daughter and my son upstairs saying, "I claim it! No, I claim it! No, I claim it!" All I got to do is come down and say, "Daddy, I'd like to have that." All I got to say. You know, if it's good for them, I'm not going to deny them. Are you a good parent? Would you do that to your child? If it's good for them? Can't we get way off? Now, that whole thing started because someone, somewhere, one time, confessed something, and it happened. And God did it because he felt sorry for them. But then they made a doctrine out of it. Amen. I believe that, brother Pam. Ask. That's what my Bible said. Ask. Whatsoever things you need when you pray, believe. And then believe. Ask and believe. That's it. Ask and believe. And the Father's not going to deny you anything you need. He's already settled that with me. I don't have time to tell you about it now, but he settled it with me up under a grand piano. He can get under a grand piano. He got under there with me and talked to me. I was hid up under there where nobody bothered me, praying and seeking God. And he crawled up under there and told me, he said, son, I'm big enough to finance anything you're big enough to believe me for. Pretty good deal. Amen. Put the monkey on my back. That's where it should have been all the time. Because he set before me an open door. So stand in the word. Number four, my conclusion. Be a man of prayer. Don't talk about it, do it. You don't learn how to pray, everything I've told you is useless. Amen. You got to pray. You can get a crowd on a program, but you build a church on your knees. Amen. You shake cities on your knees. You tear down strongholds on your knees. Amen. Give him the best part of your day, every day. Roll out of that bed before everybody else is hustling. And get a hold of God. And spend time with him. For men who learn to fast and pray, nothing can stop them. As they add that to the things I've told you. Brother, you'll be a success wherever you go if you'll add prayer and fasting to what I've told you. Amen. I'm the son of an alcoholic father. I never had a chance. When I was a kid of a boy coming up, I didn't have a chance. Whenever I accepted Christ, no one thought I would stick. Why should they? Everybody on my dad's side and my mother's side were the roughest gangsters in our whole county. But why should they think that I was going to stick? Every strike was against me. Nobody ever told me to pray, but I started it by talking to God while I was plowing. I operated a big tractor, and as I'd operate that tractor, I'd talk to God. I'd talk to him like he was seated there on that seat beside me. And the more I'd talk to him, the better I'd feel. And I would talk to God, and I'd come home, the dust and dirt coming from the plows coming up, and they'd cake on my face from the tears coming down, and there'd just be a stream right down like this that was clean where the tears would come down and drop off on my chest. But God talked to me out there, and God gave me truths, and God showed me how to draw nigh to him, and he'd draw nigh to me. And the Spirit of God began to move upon me. It was on that tractor seat that I preached my first sermon. I didn't know this till after I answered the call to preach and started pastoring my first church. But all of the black hands that used to work on the farm, they would come out late in the evening, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and they'd sit there and listen to me preach to that exhaust pipe on that tractor. Honey, if I had some of those sermons on tape, they'd go like hotcakes.
But it was there that God dealt with me, and he gave me truth. And I learned him. I learned him as my father. I learned Jesus as my Savior and my friend. One that sticketh closer than a brother. One that's with me always and will never leave me nor forsake me. It was there that I moved from that depressed state that people had me in, trying to make me believe that I was a nobody, that I wouldn't make it, that there was no way that I could rise. I came out of that through prayer. I drew close to the heart of God, and God let me know I was somebody. I was important to him. I had been chosen by him. I was not a beggar. Hey, I didn't go around begging. God, would you take me? Would you take me? God made it real to me that he came down and he found me. He sought me out in the muck and the mire of sin. He found me, and he said, hey, I want that kid. And he took me. I'm important to God. Hallelujah. It changed my whole thinking. And it all happened through prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I drew nigh to God. I drew nigh to God. Your prayer life and your time of meditation with the Word, hell will fight you on that more than anything else. He'll try to rob you of that time. He'll do everything. At the church that I'm pastoring now, you can imagine what it's like. I think that we have now about 140-something full-time employees. Everybody thinks that they got to talk to me. When I'm at that office, they give my secretary fits if they can't get through to me. So I was robbed of time there. There's no way that I can study and pray at that office. So I go home. I went home, and then the phone would ring off the wall. So then I put in an unlisted number where no one could have the number except my secretary and the staff members that were head of the staff, where that I could get alone. You say, Brother Gorman, but I couldn't. No, you can't do that now. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the further you go, there will never be a time that you'll get so far along that you don't need to pray and wait before God. And if you don't find time for it, good people with big problems, marital problems, they have this problem. A child is given them a problem. A stepson is given a problem. A stepdaughter is given a problem. This one's going into financial bankruptcy. And on the line goes. But they'll have to learn to turn to someone else that's on the staff and let them be there. Because if I spend all of my time with them and no time with him, that I cannot minister to the people. And when I come before that sacred desk, I must have heard from Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I had to make a choice since I've been here. There are a lot of you people. I wanted desperately to have dinner with the Franks while I was here. But I couldn't. I had to make a choice. I want to be the Laughlin here. I just forgot there's even out here. These people pastored across town from me. I love them dearly. I wanted to spend time with other people. I wanted to be with the Savages. I'd like to have had coffee with them. But I had to make a choice. If I was going to preach when I was supposed to be here and go back home ready to feed those people, I had to get in that motel room and lock that door and get on my knees and hear from God, because Sunday, if nothing happens, there'll be approximately 7,000 people come there to hear what God's given me this week to give them. Oh. Hallelujah. Sometimes I stand and weep as I see the people coming in. And I say, oh God, they're coming because they got needs. They're hungry. They're starving. They're hurting. They're aching. They're coming. And what am I? What am I? And I am nothing till he takes over. And then I'm the answer for that hour. Because I lift up him high enough for them to see. And everyone who sees him, they are ministered to. Heavenly Father, who has kept me and brought me along the way. I don't know what your background is, but it can be no worse than mine. But he can take you, and he can make you great if you don't think you're great already. But if you will stay humble before him, you have entered into the highest calling. and all the world. And the only way you get there is by choice of Him. Amen? He called you. You can't call yourself. And if they ever ask you to run for governor of your state, say, thank you, sirs, but I could not step down from the wall to take such a lowly position. For I now stand in the highest position known to mankind to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and love Him with me.